This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Okay. Dan and I found this before the show today, and I have always said, if you're going to do a remake, either do it better or do it different. And this is definitely different.
It's different.
I like it.
So do I.
Never going to dance again.
We're supposed to play hits on this program.
Dance. That is a hit. Careless Whisper was a number one hit in 1985.
Yes, in 85. Yeah.
And this is a remake of a number one hit.
165,000 plays on Spotify.
So far.
So
okay.
Far.
Okay. All right. Oh, it did actually 20. Just drop this year.
Add another 20. Maybe 25 listens.
You know, hang on, Dan. Let me deal with these two yahoos. You guys told me that the top of the hour songs, which are the ones that I pick, were getting a little stale, a little too 80s.
I just thought we should mix it up with some
Careless Whisper remakes?
Anything
I thought so too.
Really after Reagan was in office would be refreshing. Can we go back to Dan's newscast? Anytime the words on the lam are in a news story, my ears perk up because I just love saying someone's on the lam.
Her last name is Lamb.
Stop it.
Also.
She was Lamb on the lam? That is glorious.
Yes.
Pray tell, what is she accused of stealing again, Dan?
She was the GOP election director, one of the election directors in Clay County, mm-hmm. and she was charged in July with felony financial crimes. Her county issued credit card, racking up charges on her credit card. And then she was charged, warrant. She skipped town, went on the lam. Was arrested in Montana yesterday.
Okay, so I have so many questions, but here's one of them. No one apparently from the Clay County Election Board or anyone in administration at Clay County either knew or disclosed about the charges until someone with the county put it on their Facebook page this week.
Channel 9 was looking into that and discovered that, yeah, this was a surprise to a lot of people.
She was fired back in January. So my guess is if you worked around her, you were like, where'd Lamb go?
She's on the lamb.
But no one thought it important to let anyone know that she's accused of embezzling money from the county and they can't find her?
Well, they did find her in Montana yesterday.
Yeah, but how many months later?
Well, it was
seven.
July.
So 7 months.
They took her into custody without incident, by the way. She remains in custody.
How much money did she take?
I don't have that in front of me, but I think it was several thousands. It was like $8,000 to $10,000.
It's like $8,100 in non-business related charges and undocumented expenses, $1,300 in, quote, questionable mileage reimbursements, $200 in undocumented petty cash payments, and two extra payroll checks totaling $6,200. So we're talking, she's bumping up against 20 grand.
Not bad.
You know, it's you know, there has to be transparency. There's supposed to be transparency
okay.
in government, right?
Well, but is this government? This was the GOP.
No, this was the
election board.
The election board.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right. So, I mean, not only transparency when there's money missing and who's in charge of the money and who has access to those accounts, but also then when someone is arrested, you would think there would be an email sent out, you know, hey, FYI,
or
someone within our ranks not only is accused, we're missing some money here, but has fled the state.
And wasn't that part of the story, Dan, was the media and local officials were upset that the charges were filed months ago, but this was not publicized?
Right. There were a lot of people that were very close to all of this, including those on the election board, that were not notified until yesterday when the public was notified about
this. Did they think maybe something might be adrift?
Yes.
When she didn't show up for meetings or, I don't know, the election?
I will tell you this, without further comment, because I don't need to. She served as the election director in Clay County from 2015 to 2023.
Okay, so she wouldn't be at meetings now.
Well, but what I'm saying is, Scott, from 2015 to 2020, that's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to believe that just a couple of times toward the end there was money missing, we can have that discussion. But are they going back as we speak and looking at 2015 or 2016?
Probably.
It's always the slow drip with these cases.
We would have to.
Well, and when those charges have been filed and you're part of that election board and you don't know, you feel like the wool's been pulled over your eyes.
Their reply is, by the way, it's a personnel issue. The hell it is.
That is not true.
When there is public money involved,
that's exactly right.
It is not a personnel issue.
That is exactly right. A personnel issue is she's showing up late for work. She's not showing up at all. She's bullying employees in the office. When we're talking about taking public money, it is no longer a personnel issue. That's a public finance issue.
Now they're hiding behind.
Yes.
This is a personnel issue. We see that all the time. It's a personnel matter. We're going into closed session.
Apparently Netflix is ready to take on either CBS or Fox. Netflix says it wants a piece of the action of the NFL Sunday afternoon games. Listen to this. This is from Deadspin, and there are plenty of other sources, but I just went with this one because this was the best written. It sounds like the old guards at CBS and Fox might have some competition for Sunday afternoon NFL games. Keep in mind, the NFL afternoon game has been on Fox for 30 years.
Yep.
Netflix continues to think big in their approach to breaking into sports content. According to several reports, the streaming giant has their sights set on bidding on the rights to regular season Sunday afternoon games. CBS and Fox have owned the rights to NFC and AFC games since the 1990s. While the current broadcast deals run through 2033, the NFL does have an option to get out of those contracts 4 years early. That would be 2029, and they likely will. Understanding that money talks, in these sorts of negotiations, Netflix could shock the sports broadcasting landscape and outbid the traditional cable TV networks to get games exclusively on Netflix. And then they go on to say, of course, the boomer generation will be outraged at even the possibility of this. Taking the NFL regular season broadcast off of cable would have felt sacrilegious just one decade ago. But again, money talks.
Let's skip over to baseball for un momento, because did you know that Royals are in spring training, of course? I think some of the games kick off today around the country.
But tomorrow.
The electronic robotic umpire thing is now becoming a thing. This was in the New York Times overnight, and they are saying the players are going to be, the word I read was shocked, Scott, if and when they start using the robot to call balls and strikes.
It's officially called the Automated Ball Strike System, the ABSS.
Not to be mistaken with the automatic braking system in your car.
ABAS?
ABS.
Oh.
ABS.
What?
Got it. I thought you said ABASS.
I just think this is going to bring mayhem to the MLB.
They've already tried it in the
minor leagues,
right? And now, didn't they like it?
There was a spring training game played earlier today. They did call a challenge, and it was successfully overturned using the ABAS.
Here we go.
No, the ABS.
ABAS.
But if we do this in football, for instant replay, and we do, you know, it's not like we're not using technology in other realms. There's always going to be a human element. I think the human element is important, but why not, if it's a game changer, why not have something where, like in football, you lose a timeout if you lose the challenge?
I didn't read the entire story word for word. I skimmed it, so I might have missed this detail. But Rob and I were talking about it, Rob from the sports station.
Yeah.
We're talking about it out in the newsroom before the show. And the big hangup that we had was, how many challenges can you make per game?
Two.
Good.
Okay. Well, then whatever. They say that it's going to take 17 seconds for the umpire to run over, look at the screen, and make a ruling based on the ABAS.
Are you asking the same umpire that maybe erroneously called a ball a strike or a strike a ball to also then run over?
Just like in the NFL.
Just like they're in timeout, so, and take a look?
Here's the way it works. The manager has 2 seconds to offer a challenge.
Wow.
2 seconds. And MLB is estimating the entire process will take 17 seconds. 2 seconds to throw your flag or say, challenge!
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Just like in football.
Well, in football, you get a lot more time.
And you don't throw a flag?
Actually, as we saw in the Chiefs game, you can throw the flag after the next play has been played, and they can still challenge it. Not bitter about that one.
They've been testing this 4 years in the minor leagues.
And there's only 3 players on the field who can challenge.
Yep, you're right. It's not a manager. You're right. Batter, pitcher, or catcher.
What if the robot refuses to be overruled?
Batter? Wait a minute.
Oh, like AI.
What?
Taking over the world.
I mean,
batter, pitcher,
or catcher.
Or catcher.
And to challenge, you have to tap the top of your hat or helmet.
I would want Salvi challenging. I really would. Like, who's going to know more than the catcher?
Well, and then here's the deal. And, you know, obviously they probably worked this out. But another hang up for me is the batter's box, or the strike zone, moves.
Per player. Sure it does.
If I walk up there and I swing the bat, the strike zone is much larger.
Or you're crowding the plate.
And it's much higher than if Dana were to walk up and be at bat.
Well, what's his face? The guy who played for Houston. Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
Yeah, what's his face?
Yeah.
Was he thick?
No, he was short.
Ah.
His strike zone would be much smaller than Aaron Judge's strike zone.
Exactly.
I believe Aaron Judge is 6.5 feet tall.
So are they relying on the ABAS to look at it and make a judgment through AI, or is it just a replay system where they're like, oh, well, yeah, actually that was kind of above the knee?
Stadiums are outfitted with cameras that track each pitch and judge whether it crossed home plate within the strike zone. In early testing, umpires wore earbuds and would hear ball or strike and then relay that to players and fans with traditional hand signals. The challenge system adds a wrinkle. During spring training, human umps will call every pitch, but each team will have the ability to challenge 2 calls per game with no additions for extra innings. A team retains its challenge if successful. So you could have way more than just 2.
Yes.
If you keep challenging and you are right.
Correct. You could end up with 20 challenges if you're always right, or even more. But again, you have to challenge within 2 seconds.
So is this robot physically on the field right behind the catcher?
I don't believe it's a physical robot.
Go to break.
913-586.
Bye-bye. Go to timeout. Dan, you're in timeout. I'm still mad about the cake.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We'll get to some calls here in just a moment. Phone number is 913-586-7798. But I am Nostradamus, and I can predict the future of stupid things. Yes, in this spring training season, they're going to let the human umpire behind the plate call balls and strikes, but a batter, a catcher, or a pitcher can challenge within 2 seconds. Then it's going to take about 15 seconds for the umpire to be told, yeah, you got that one right, or no, you got it wrong. I predict within 10 years, there will not be a human being behind home plate. This is the beginning of bringing in unmistakable, unable to make a mistake, AI calling balls and strikes.
It's part of the game. Like, the human umpire referee element is part of the game.
You know, the forward pass was not always part of the NFL.
Yeah, I know. 60% of spring training games are slated for trial, by the way.
Where are they putting the cameras? I'm still so stuck on this.
5 test sites in Arizona are shared.
There are 8 cameras.
Kansas City and Texas are sharing, and there are 13 spring training ballparks, home to 19 teams, and you're right, Scott, I believe 8 cameras.
Like, is there a camera angle from the pitcher's mound? Because in my head, the optimal camera angle would be the chest plate of the umpire.
They're also doing biometrics, you guys, on every single player so that they will know exactly how tall you are, how wide you are, like all of your biometrics.
I'm telling you, there will come a time where there is no home plate umpire. And if he is there, he is only there to rule safe or out on a sliding player.
Why would you not just put a chip inside of the plates? Why would you even, if we're going to go down this road, why would you even need an umpire to call a runner safe or out?
I'm not saying that he wouldn't be able to be overruled. I'm just saying there would be a home plate umpire. He would sit in a chair or something in the back. Just waiting for that guy from third to come on home.
Smoking a cigarette.
Here we go.
Having a little chaw back
it's
there.
It's go time.
Maybe a PBR. I don't know if we're going to have time. Kyle in Spring Hill. Kyle, hello.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
So I went up to a Royals minor league game in Omaha last year for the Storm Chasers. And at that time, they were testing this out up there. The cameras are very small. You can notice them, but they're not these huge TV camera looking things. But one of them is called Eye View, and it hangs out over home plate and looks directly down on it. And as I was telling Sam, one of the things I noticed last year, and it sounds like they've since implemented some parameters, it didn't seem like there was a limit on the number of challenges you could have. So it seemed like every other pitch someone was challenging it, and it seemed to slow the game down just a bit, which baseball has been pushing for the last couple of years to speed up the pace of play. This kind of had the opposite effect.
So, but the story that we're reading here from the AP says that MLB estimates that the process from challenge to decision will not exceed 17 seconds. Did you find that to be accurate?
Yeah, they rendered their decision really quick.
But 17 seconds times every single time there's a challenge, and if the challenge is successful, you don't lose your challenge.
Right. And, like, Omaha, like, 5 for 5 on theirs.
They were correct 5 times out of 5?
Yes.
Wow.
Which was kind of, you know, that kind of showed the need for it because the umpire got flipped 5 times.
Wow. What does that tell you, Kyle?
Well, does it tell you that umpire is going to be fired?
Well, that tells me that the system currently, and I like it this way, is imperfect.
But it's imperfect generally over the lifetime of games. It would be imperfect equally.
Correct.
5 crappy ball strike calls for you, 5 for me.
Right. But MLB doesn't want the game to be considered imperfect. I actually like it that way. And they will move. I promise you this. AI is going to take the place of the home plate umpire.
Well, let's just go ahead and stop paying humans to even play the sport. I mean, we've got robots now that can throw a ball, swing a bat. Let's just throw the robots out there and, you know.
They have metrics on all of this, you guys. 1.6% of first pitches were challenged. And then as you can imagine, as the count, you get to full count, 8.2% for full counts.
There is no sport that is more stat-driven than Major League Baseball.
This is going to be a nightmare. It's going to be mayhem.
Oh, you know what the other thing I saw that interesting?
Wait, it's going to be what?
Oh, I heard it. The human umpire tends to call the strike zone in an oval. Whereas the AI, as you can imagine, is the exact rectangle that you see on TV that it is supposed to be. Humans tend to narrow that to an oval.
Interesting. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is not often that I offer one, but I do have a run, do not walk.
Was it from our listener yesterday?
Yes, it was.
Aha!
Last night, after Wheel of Fortune, boy, that was an exciting one.
right wow. Down to the wire, was it?
Wow.
So 7 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, I go, babe, you know, two people, one person at work and a listener have told me that this Surviving Black Hawk Down show on Netflix is incredible. She's like, let's give it a look. So we started it. We got, I think it's three episodes deep. We got 1.5 in. And I happen to be a huge fan of the movie Black Hawk Down. It is incredible.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The detail that they get into. And dare I say, even though, of course, you know, I'm go USA all the way, they are very fair. They interview a number of the Rangers and a SEAL, Ranger and a Delta Force soldier who was involved in that campaign. But they also interview a number of people who were in the Somali militia under
locals.
Adid. And there's one guy who says at one point, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'll be close enough to be dangerous, he got screwed. He was not a militia guy, but he felt that he had gotten screwed by the Americans who were hunkered down at the beach in Somalia and would come into Mogadishu from time to time in a UN effort to help spread food and medicine, yeah, et cetera, water, all that stuff. They were having a horrible famine at the time in the early 1990s. And he felt that he'd been betrayed by the Americans in some capacity. And he said, from that day forward, I vowed and promised to myself that I would fight America until my last breath. And I was like, damn.
We're going to start it tonight.
It's really good.
Let's talk about the real blockbuster that is coming to theaters near you this weekend. Apparently, Stephen King wrote a short story many years ago.
He's written a lot of those.
About a monkey.
That man needs to be studied.
The story is actually called Monkey.
Oh.
And I was going through my emails yesterday, and they're doing a screening at the Screenland on this monkey, and it just said a gory, terrifying Stephen King thriller.
I'd expect nothing less.
Do you remember when we were kids, those creepy, plush, weird, eyeballed monkeys with the drums?
Oh, sure.
And they mechanically would go back and forth and back and forth with the drum. Like, there's something about that monkey that just, like clowns in general, creep me out, right?
Okay.
This movie is about...
Wait. How did you draw the distinction from a monkey
because
to a clown?
I can't put my finger on why it just immediately is terrifying and terrorizing to me, but it is. And you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know what to call it, but it's a monkey on a drum set, and they were little when we were growing up.
Yeah, they just played a little snare.
And they would go left, right. Anyway, they've got these weird eyes. This movie is about... one of those toy monkeys.
Let me guess,
like
it comes to life.
Yes, it's like in an attic or something and just starts killing people. I might have to go see it. It's either going, I said this over the weekend, it's either going to be the dumbest movie ever or it is going to be horrifying. And it's Stephen King. I got to lead toward horrifying.
We cannot play the trailer.
Why?
Because we like our job.
It has to have bad words in it.
And the part before the bad words is a bunch of screaming and gunshots.
Yeah, because people just keep dying. Now, do not get this confused with The Monkey King or The Monkey Man, also out right now. This is just called The Monkey. That's it. They're releasing it February 20th.
Does it look like that?
Yes! Oh, I hate that thing. Those weird buggy eyes.
Well, at least it's not this one. Look at that weirdo.
Oh, God. It's been a while since we've had a good... scary Stephen King.
Really? It?
That was 15 years ago at least. We all fluffed down here.
No, it wasn't.
Sam, it was such a long time ago.
Came out in 2017.
2017. 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. That's one of the few Stephen King books.
Georgie.
Oh, stop it. I remember Rod saying this, Babcock. Out of all the books he ever read, he said... A, one of the scariest books I've ever read. And he said, B, Dana, do not go anywhere near that book.
And then they put out
the book is worse than the movie.
Didn't he do Pet Sematary 2? Pet Sematary came out in 2019, the new one.
Well, they did come out with an It 2, which the first half was really good. The second half got really unbelievable.
Do you remember the jerks when It came out in theaters in 2017?
Yes.
And everybody on Halloween started tying red balloons to the gutters.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember the craze before the movie came out. They were hiring random actors and actresses to stand at the edges of woods dressed as clowns holding a red balloon.
No.
That's how you get shot.
Yeah.
They have ranked the top 10 scariest, best Stephen King books of all time.
All right, let me guess. Cujo has to be on that list.
A couple of these I've never heard of.
He did The Shining.
Let me give you an example. Carrie comes in at number 6. That was his debut out.
Believe that's book. Right. Is Pet Sematary in there?
Pet Sematary comes in at number 3.
Okay. It.
Number 2.
Number 1. It's not Cujo.
No. Cujo is not in the top 10.
It's not The Shining, which was his fourth book.
Number 1 is The Shining.
Okay. Huh.
And then they list all of his books. I'm still scrolling.
By the way,
he has written so many. It's more than 100. I'm still scrolling.
Look at the dates. And Sam's right. He needs to be studied. Because if you look at the release dates on some of those books.
Oh, yeah.
There are some years where he writes 2 books in 1 year.
74, 75, 76, 77, 8, 8, 9, 80, 80, 81.
No, that man is not stable.
Oh, I think he's brilliantly stable.
Well, no, he's not stable because he's brilliant.
Number 4 comes in. So first to last, if we're doing top 10, let me go back over it. The Shining is number 1, followed by It, followed by Pet Sematary, followed by Misery.
Oh, man. I forgot about that one.
Oh, followed by Salem's Lot. Mm. I'd forgotten about
These
that.
These are all early books of his.
Yep. Followed by Carrie, The Gunslinger.
I've never heard of that one.
11, 22, 63? Never heard of that.
JFK.
Oh, duh. Thinner. Ooh.
Ooh, forgot about that one.
Man, I read that years ago.
By the way, the show 11/22/63 based on the book, fantastic. Run, Do Not Walk if you haven't seen it.
Which one?
11/22/63.
It's just called 11/22/63. It's a show based on Stephen King's rendition of how all that went down.
Is it what happened or what might have happened or what could, like, explain it?
Is it fiction?
Yeah.
An alternative look at that day?
An alternative look about what led up to that day and everything around it and time travel and conspiracies.
Got it.
Time travel.
Take Stephen King and slap it into a conspiracy theory and that's what you get.
I'm in. Number 10 comes in. Dr. Sleep from 2013. Were you allowed to read those books as a child?
Well, I don't like fiction to begin with. So I don't know that I've seen Stephen King movies, but I've never read one of his books. Not one.
I feel like you would not be able to sleep if you. The books are always scarier to me than the movie.
I remember. What's the name of the girl or the in Pet Sematary?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, then I'll just.
Well, the
look
little
it
boy
up.
Was Gage.
No, I know, but what was the girl's name?
Oh God, she was so annoying in that movie. I don't remember.
Hang on, because I never saw the original Pet Sematary, and I went and saw the second one. In 2017, the remake, and there's a name of the kid.
One of the worst acting jobs in the history of cinema, and I hate to like knock down a child, but I'm going to. Whoever played the daughter in the original Pet Sematary.
Not good.
It is so bad. Scott.
What?
It is so bad. And how old is she in that movie? 9, 8 years old, somewhere in that. And I don't know if they just couldn't find an actress that could memorize that many lines. It's terrible.
In the second Pet Sematary, I don't know if this was in the first one, but I used to screw around with the kids with this. I'd stand outside their door and go, Rachel!
Why would you do that? That was the sister with spina bifida.
Rachel!
Terrible. What is wrong with you?
I just like to scare
my
kids.
Where do we start?
Oh, come on, man. That's not nice.
Rachel. The Monkey premieres so tomorrow. I kind of want someone else to go see it and then tell me, do I go see it?
You didn't even go see the last movie you said you were going to go see. It was a big one. You said,
Gladiator. I went and saw it.
Oh, you did see
Gladiator.
Yes, I
did.
Okay.
It's phenomenal.
913-586-7798. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here out of Colorado. On Friday of last week, the Grant Parish Sheriff's Office in, check that, I said Colorado, Louisiana. In Louisiana, said two Colorado men were arrested after attempting to use a cannon to sneak meth and tobacco into a federal prison. I never thought the word cannon and
meth
sneak
cannon
would end up in the same sentence. They're kind of loud.
Was that a bird? Was that a plane? No, it's a meth cannon.
It's flying meth. Look, kids. The sheriff's office said an investigation led deputies to learn that the suspects from Greeley, Colorado, planned to use a cannon propelled by compressed air to launch $112,000 worth of tobacco and $89,500 worth of meth.
Well, is that prison value or is that street value?
I think that might be street value. In prison, it's going to be a lot more.
That's a lot of tobacco and meth.
Deputies said that the cannon, which could shoot items 350 feet into the air, would launch the items over the federal prison security. It's a federal prison. You're going to prison too now. Security fence and
they
onto.
They should launch them into the prison with a meth cannon.
Here's your helmet.
The two suspects... 18-year-old Jose Munoz and 19-year-old Angel Gutierrez, both from Greeley, facing charges of attempting to introduce contraband into a penal institution and attempting to distribute.
Okay, I have so many questions. Had the meth cannon been successful, then no longer attempting to distribute?
Correct.
You have distributed.
That is correct. And I assume that would be a higher charge.
Now, was this like a potato launcher? Or are we talking like, you know, Civil War era? We're rolling this thing over there.
You know, Sam,
it says compressed air. Right. So I'm thinking like potato launcher.
I'm just thinking back at my long history of launching tobacco and meth into prison grounds.
I mean, you've done it many times, right?
Yeah, and we used a larger size cannon. This was not some T-shirt launcher or hot dog thing at the Royals.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Because we're, we're launching multi-tens of thousands of dollars of contraband in. We got to get moving here.
I mean, you got to go big if you're going to be launching meth.
Yeah. So we don't have time for, you know, oh, here's one package. Oh, here's another. Oh, here comes another. We got to get it all in one shot. Huh. Get it's our cannon situation. Out of there. We got to get moving.
Uh-huh.
Love may be in the air, but is it in the workplace? Yes, it is. If a new survey of more than 1,000 full-time U.S. workers is anything to go by, American workers across all age groups, from Gen Z to millennials and Gen X, even to baby boomers, share their thoughts on how workplace romances are affecting their careers and workplace dynamics.
They obviously did not take the harassment training.
Clearly. From the survey, evolving attitudes towards professional boundaries have emerged across generations, though 39% of workers of all ages. Whoa!
Wait, 39% of workers of all ages what?
Have engaged in a workplace relationship. Gen Z is most likely to date in the office. Some 11% of Gen Zers say they've dated their manager.
Oh, well, that's frowned upon behavior.
Now, that study doesn't say that they're actively doing it. This is at any point in their career.
Just says have dated.
Okay.
I'm not surprised by that number.
That drops to 7% for millennials. I do. That a manager would be willing to put their career on the line for a little side?
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by that number.
Wow. Man, this makes me not want to let anybody that I date go to work. 7% for millennials have dated their manager, 5% for Gen X, and 3% for baby boomers. Generation differences continue throughout the report. 45% of Gen Z and 42% of millennials say they have slept with a coworker.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you end up getting married or it's not your direct report, does anyone really care? Especially if it's not your direct report. If it's like in another, let's say you work for a corporation, okay, like big C-suite type place, and you're in accounting and the guy you're dating is over in, I don't know.
Accounts payable?
Sure.
I don't know. 35% of Gen X have slept with a coworker, 21% of baby boomers. 24% of Gen Z workers have matched with a coworker on a dating app.
Awkward.
Something tells me that these numbers are a little flawed by honesty, because the old going out for drinks after work thing used to be a whole lot more common than it is today. And something tells me that when those drinks turned into 10 or whatever, things started happening for the older generations, if you know what I'm saying.
No, what do you mean? I don't know. Would you like to expand? That mayhem broke out?
It definitely did.
By the way, I sent Sam a text last night. We were listening to that one bit of the show yesterday. I was laughing so hard, I was crying. And it's at the very beginning when Sam first says mayhem.
It's so funny.
And you start a sentence and you just stop and you hear me go, oh.
Oh.
I got to be honest with you guys. I went back and listened to it as well because you reminded me of it. I still don't hear the difference.
Well, you need to get your ears checked.
No doubt about that. 913-586-7798. Our good friend Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. That's Sam. My name's Scott. Don't forget to check out our podcast, the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. We will see you on the other side of the news with Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.